Do you know that God has a great plan for your life? And do you know that He has made provisions for all that you need to fulfill His ordained plans for you? Join us as we journey into God's Word to discover and maximize our God-given destinies. Get set for radical transformation as we listen to the lead pastor, Destiny Impact Church, Pastor Demola Awoyeli, in this life-changing message. Your life will never remain the same again. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
Let somebody look at me and say, truly this person has been with Jesus. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works in your career, in your business, in your academics, and in every areas of your life, and they will be able to say that you truly are a child of God. They will be able to say that you have been with Jesus. If what happens to you in church on Sunday does not affect what you do at work on Monday, then you have not come to church. Church is not a place of religion, it's a place of encounter. If what happens to you in church on Sunday does not affect what you do at work on Monday, you have not come to church. I want us to receive an impartation from God this morning that will make all the difference in all that we do. Receive an impartation of wisdom, impartation of excellence. It's amazing when Daniel prayed in the book of Daniel chapter 9, the angel said, I've come to give you skill and understanding. So God does skill. There is a skill I know that you learn, but it is skill that God gives. The angel told Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, he said, I've come to give you skill and understanding. So God can give skill. It was God that gave Peter and John and the rest of the disciples the skill, alright, the skill of communication. They were ignorant. They didn't have university degree. All they knew was fishing. But the Bible said because they had been with Jesus, there was an impartation of divine wisdom, divine skill that made all the difference in all that they did. Make it your prayer this morning. I receive that impartation that will make all the difference in my academics, in my business, in my career, in my job, in every area and aspect of my life. And so shall it be. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. And Father, we receive this as our reality in the name of Jesus. Let it be said of us that we have been with Jesus. As we step out there into our various spheres of endeavor tomorrow in the name of Jesus. Let this service be a service of impartation. Let it be a service of transformation. And let our lives not remain the same. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Alright, you are not saying amen as if you are in church. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Hallelujah. Come on, shake hands with your neighbor and welcome that person to church this morning. Tell that person it's good to see you. Hallelujah. God bless you. Give that person a smile, alright? Smile is not expensive. Anybody can give it. And everybody should be able to receive it. I want to welcome us to our first service this morning. If you are just joining the service, this is our first service. We call it Fast Track Service. And the purpose of this service is to empower people to make a difference out there in the world, be it in their career, in their business, in their relationship, in their marriage, and of course in leadership. Those are the four cardinal areas that Fast Track Service actually focuses on. And because I have a lot to share, actually this morning's teaching I've divided into two. So I'll take one today, I'll take one next week Sunday, same time, same service. I don't want to be under pressure, alright, to finish everything. Obviously, I cannot finish all there is that the Holy Spirit has placed in my heart for this service. So, this is the part one of becoming employable. So, if you want to give it a title, you may want to call it Becoming Employable Part 1. Alright? Because next week, Sunday, we will be looking at Becoming Employable Part 2. So, everything we have not been able to touch this morning, we would be able to touch it in the next service next Sunday. Alright, I want to take our reading this morning from Matthew chapter 20. It's the parable of the hired servants. You know, in the scriptures, there are different kinds of parables. Alright, and parables are, you know, divine truths or stories that have earthly relevance, if I may want to call it that way. One thing I used to know in the parables of Jesus is that And we often say that a certain man, say a certain man. I'm sure you've heard stuff like that before. A certain man had this one, a certain man, a certain man. And anytime I use the word certain, it does actually means that, all right, it is a truth. Some of us, we have viewed parables as though they are fables. They are things that somebody just conjured together to help his communication. No. Jesus' parables is a mystery anyway. They are both stories and realities at the same time. Are you following me? Like the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, or the story of Lazarus and the rich man, it's not just a story, it's a truth. Do you understand? Alright, so anytime you see the word, a certain man, meaning that it is certain, it is true. You can be able to stake your life for those stories in the Bible and be able to make something great out of your life behind it. So the story, the parable we are sharing from this morning, it's not just a fable. It's not just something that somebody just put together to help his communication. It tells us the reality of the kingdom. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man. We are going to read all through because of time. We're going to read fast because of time. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyards. Verse 2, you need to be fast at the projector. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Alright, verse 3, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing what? Idle in the marketplace. May you not stand idle in the name of Jesus. I said, may you not stand idle in the name of Jesus. And the Bible said they were standing idle in the marketplace. So life is a marketplace. Are you following me? It can be marketplace of whatever it is you are doing. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Verse 5. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. Verse 6. And about the 11th hour. Hear God's word today. Actually, the reason why I'm bringing up this teaching is because God spoke to my heart that we have entered a season of new jobs and better jobs in Destiny Impact Church. So this teaching is a prophetic teaching. Do you understand? God spoke that to my heart, that in this church, I wrote it down in my diary, we have entered seasons of new jobs, better jobs, international jobs. I received that in Jesus' name. So my job as a pastor is to bring practical teachings in a way that will prepare you for the prophecy. Alright, prophecies don't get fulfilled because people are not taught what and what they are supposed to do to make prophecy a reality in their life. And look at that word about the 11th hour. The 11th hour in grammar means that at the dying minute. Are you following me? When nobody expects to be hired again. Are you following me? When nobody expects not to get a job again. Sometimes we are already in the dying minute of year 2019. And that has happened for us in this house over and over again. We have seen people get a job in November. We have seen folks get job in December and all of that. There are moments and seasons that look like 11th hour where nobody seems to expect to get a job. Alright, but God says to tell you, I don't know what job is it you are believing God for. It can be in whatever sector. You are listening to me anywhere you are in the world. It might look like the dying minute. It may look like the 11th hour when no one is can be hired again. Some people is the 11th hour of age. You are already 35. And every vacancy you see, they say from 22 years old and below. And you wonder, 22 minus 35 is 13. I'm 13 years disqualified. But God says to tell you that an 11th hour miracle is coming your way in the name of Jesus. So because for this man, he has been idling. Alright, from about 11 hours. He's been idling from the day, from the time the work schedule starts. Alright, he's been idle. So he never expected himself to be hired. But the Bible said there was a mirror, and it will tell you that it was the same kind of privilege that others were given, that this man was given. The Bible said after everybody finished their work day, alright, they were paid the same amount. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The fact that you are 35 years old does not mean they won't pay you well. It will pay you well in Jesus' name. The fact that you have NCE or poly or ND or HND does not mean that you will not pay the same way other people that have better qualifications will be paid. Because the Bible said after the job was done, even though this guy maybe just worked for an hour, I wouldn't know. Obviously, never worked as long as other people work. The Bible said the owner of the vineyard actually paid him the same wage that others were paying. So let's go back to that verse 6 again. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. Can I quickly say this morning that God hates idleness. Do you understand? God hates idleness. And I want you to see the heart and attitude of God in the way he spoke to this 11th hour servant. I could see him probably shouting on him or charging him and say, why are you standing here? How you do? Alright, this is 11 a.m., 2 p.m. or 1 p.m. You are still tying towel around in the compound. You are still putting, you see what they call it now, chewing stick in your mouth, okay? You are still putting toothbrush in your mouth, alright? You are still loafing around on the bed. You are still trying to WhatsApp by 11 a.m., Instagram me by 12 noon. And this shows us the attitude of God towards idleness. Say, why are you standing idle? Why are you standing idle? Alright, you know, he cared less. That servant had for being idle. There are some messages the Lord sent to us that may look as though God does not even know what we are going through. How can pastor be telling me why am I standing idle? Does he know that Buhari is the one in government? Why is he telling me why am I standing idle? Does he not know that whatever has happened, even though the house owner knew the reality of the marketplace, he still spoke his heart to that servant. Do you understand? He said, why are you standing idle? This word is for somebody this morning. God is asking, why are you standing idle? Why are you standing jobless? There is a job for you. Hallelujah. There is a job for you. There is an employment for you. There is a placement for you. Why are you standing idle? Hallelujah. He said, why are you standing idle? And the response of the servant was that no man has hired us. And that's the response of a lot of people today as far as job is concerned. They will say, no man has hired us. There is no vacancy. I've submitted 1,001 applications and I've not gotten feedback from them. So I have reasons to be idle. I have reason to be tying towel at 11 a.m. I have reason to be loafing around because I've done what I knew to do and I still could not get what I wanted to get. Hallelujah. And I see the audacity and the energy and the passion with which the house owner, alright, was able to put that man to work. He told him, come and go at once and go and join those who are working. So this message is a summon to somebody. God is telling us, I don't know the limitation, I don't know the challenge, I don't know the obstacles out there. God is summoning all of us. He said, go out there and join those who are working. Hallelujah. Those who are gainfully employed, they are not better than you. They may have first class, you may have third class, but you belong to God class. Say, I belong to God class. Remember what Pastor Kemi said? You know, the Bible said they saw the boldness of Peter and John and they saw that they were ignorant or learned men. They never had first class, but they actually belong to God class. So God is telling somebody this morning, you don't have to be hired. There is a job out there for you. They were waiting to be hired. Hallelujah. They were waiting to be hired. They were waiting for the government to call them and shortlist them for the federal government job. They were waiting for that parastatal or that organization to call them for an interview. I'm sure you have had stories of folks who dress up in the morning with suit and tie or whatever, and they go knock the doors of organization. Alright, I've had such stories before. Knock the door of that company, alright, and they said, okay, what are you looking for? I need a job. We don't have a job where I can do something for you. Alright, and before you know it, the job that seemed not to exist actually was given to that person. Because one of the reasons why people don't get jobs is because of excuses. They are not employing. How many of you know that there are some places that they are employing, but you don't know? It is not, I've not started my teaching, I'm just giving you the prophetic side to this teaching. It is not every employment that they put in Vanguard. Are you following me? It's not every employment that they advertise on Breeze FM. It's not every employment that they put on Facebook. There are some employment that exists, but you may not know. Until you quit giving excuses, until you stand up in the energy of this prophetic message and go and knock those doors. Hallelujah. You need to get to that company and tell them I can do something for you. Even if they are saying they don't have any vacancy, your presence in that place will open vacancies for you. Hallelujah. Somebody will just misbehave. Amen. Hallelujah. The day you just step into that company, somebody misbehaved. Alright, and the manager said, you have lost your job this time. And lo and behold, the PA to the manager knocked on the door. Somebody want to see you. And they say, it is Shegun that want to see you. Shegun, why are you here? I need a job. Who told you there's a job? Yes, sir. I know I can do something for you. Okay, let me have your search. Let me have your credentials. And that is how you will get your job in Jesus' name. Or somebody will be promoted. All right? And his place will be vacant. Or somebody will be transferred. All right? And they will require a replacement. What am I saying this morning? Don't give excuses. Hallelujah. So that's the burden behind this teaching. All right, that young servant or that servant, even though it was at the 11th hour, he still got the job. I don't know who I'm speaking with. Somebody listening to me here. Somebody has told you your age has passed. But that's the problem we have in Nigeria today. Not in Nigeria, everywhere in the world. All right, they even put in there that finishes serving NYSA not later than 2015 downward or whatever you want to call it. So if you finish serving 2014, no job. Finish serving 2009. No job. But listen to me, God, we remove protocol for your sake in the name of Jesus. The job of 23 years will be given to you even though you are 28 in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we can see in the scriptures that there are a lot that God has to say about jobs. Am I correct? In the Bible, you will see stuff like wage. You will see stuff like laboring, laborers, and all of that. So the Bible is not silent about us getting a job. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 28, let's go there. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 28, alright, Apostle Paul admonished whoever has been stealing to stop stealing. Do you understand? He said, let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands, that he may have to give to him that have need. Alright, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 28, that was what Apostle Paul was telling believers inside church. He said, let him that stole, alright? Alright, so whoever does not have a job sometimes can be given to stealing, but I know they are not in church this morning. Alright, you wonder why somebody can go to a supermarket and steal perfume, alright, because he doesn't have a job. I'm not asking you to go and steal because you don't have a job, but I'm saying quite a number of folks who are into armed robbery or who are stealing today, most of them or some of them are doing that because they don't have a job. So Paul was telling the Ephesian Christian, he said, let him that stole, let him steal no more. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands, that he may have to give to him that has need. Hallelujah. In Genesis 30:28, from Genesis 13, you will see the story of Laban, all right, and Abraham and Jacob. Jacob actually worked for some number of years in the company of Laban. Alright, Jacob worked in the company of Laban and they negotiated wages. But a point came in the employment of Jacob that he became a shareholder in the industry of Laban. Alright, because like Pastor Kemi told us, the hand of God was of Jacob. And because of Jacob's presence and involvement in Laban's business, the Bible said that business moved to another level. Do you understand? That Laban had to tell Jacob in confession that I have learned by experience that the Lord has prospered me because of you. Alright? The Lord has prospered me because of you. And it got to a point that Laban told Jacob, he said, name your wage. Alright? And I'm going to pay it. Whatever it is you want to collect. That's the next level God is taking some of us to. The next level of you deciding what you will collect. Alright? There are some people that you are begging. This 12,000 is too small now. I hope you know that we enter transport to and fro. You are the one begging. You are even sweating over the negotiation. But God is taking us to a point in our work that you won't have to be begging employer to pay you. Employer will be begging you to work for them in the name of Jesus. What are the levels of jobs? There's a level that you are begging, you are sweating, please employ me now, just give me anything, I will collect just anything. There is another level that the employers are begging you and say, we want you to work for us, just name your wages. Hallelujah. They say, name your wages. They will say, name your terms of work. Alright, other people resume by 8 a.m. and they close by 6 p.m. but your guy at the top tells you, boy, you can resume whenever you feel necessary, because we know that it's not the number of hours you will spend working for us, but it is in the input you are going to have in our organization. The others are working 8 to 5, 8 to 6, but they're saying you can come 12 and close by 4. Alright. And we should trust God to take us to that level, not the level of you having to but of course, you're going to start from somewhere, but I'm telling you what is possible with God. Alright, for Jacob, Laban told him, he said, name your way, just name anything I'm going to give to you. Why? Because for 14 solid years, this guy has been a productive employee in the company of his employer. Jacob, I mean, you say he has been a productive employee. He worked for the first 7 years. All right, I know he was cheated. He worked for another 7 years, even though he was cheated. There are some of you listening to me this morning, they may not have been paying you the right salary or the rightful wage or salary, but keep giving your best. All right, for Jacob, Laban thought he was cheating him. He never knew that he was developing him. Are you following me? All those 7 years, 14 years of laboring, all right, in the house, in the company of Laban, that appeared as though Laban was slaving or cheating on Jacob. He never knew that he was helping Jacob to develop mastery. Do you understand? He was helping Jacob to develop, to hone up his skill. He was helping Jacob to develop something that will make him an exceptional employee. So after some couple of years, Jacob said, I'm going to resign. Alright, I want to resign. I've done enough. But because Laban knew that what his company had become as at then was as a result of the exceptional input of Jacob. May that be your portion in Jesus' name. There are some employees that cannot be sacked. Are you following me? That even if the company cannot sustain paying your salary, they will say, can you work for us part-time? Do you understand? It is not every employee that is sackable. All this one that you are afraid. They said they have sent circular from the headquarters that the 15 staff must leave this branch of ours. And you are fidgeting. You are even coming for prayers from pastor. Listen, you don't need prayer. You need this teaching. Do you understand? Pastor, pray for me that they will not look in my direction when they are looking for who to sack. You don't really need prayer as much as this knowledge I'm sharing this morning. Can you imagine Jacob going to his pastor and say, please pray for me that they won't sack me? He doesn't have to pray that kind of prayer. It was so valuable, may he be valuable. It was so significant that even if every other person will be sacked, not Jacob. And that's the kind of employee that God wants us to become. Employees that cannot be sacked. Employee that, you know, your boss will not think he's doing you a favor, all right, for employing you. Rather, he will see that you are the one doing him a favor. Do you understand? I'm not saying you should become proud, but I'm saying know your worth, know your value, all right, hone up your skill, develop mastery in your game, so that in case you have the privilege of working for somebody, they will see that you're actually doing them a favor. Maybe you are listening to this teaching, somebody is threatening you and say, you better cooperate with me. I'm going to sack you. Listen to God's word today. You will not be sacked in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you getting something? Say, Pastor, you are just shouting. I say, remember, what I'm saying is a prophetic message. I'll go to the practical now. Do you understand? Because we need the prophetic before we get to the practical. You say, I can't be, I'm telling you, package yourself, do your resume, well, you hear all those ones in the secular. Am I correct? So if all I'm doing here is to be telling you all those things, some of you don't have to come to this service. Go and Google, there are a lot of slides on how to prepare yourself to get it. But I'm bringing the prophetic dimension, all right, to this teaching that will help you make all of those practical things possible in your life and for your life. Hallelujah. Alright, I'm sure you've been taught before now that our problem actually is not lack of employment. Alright, but our problem is lack of employability. Say employability. I think it's important that statisticians also come up with employability figures. I know we come up with unemployment figures. We come up with figures of people who have been gainfully employed. Can we come up also with figures of people who, even though the job is available, but they are not employable? Alright, so that's what I'm talking about this morning. So our problem in Nigeria, maybe in Akure or wherever, is not only, I know part of the problem is that there are not many jobs. But I believe that is not the only problem we have got. Alright, because if you shift the rule or the game from unemployment to unemployability, you will start positioning yourself to get a good job. What do I mean? We stop saying that there are no jobs. Alright, even though that is partly correct, there are not many jobs. There are jobs, but not many jobs. But start also looking at it in this other angle, that there are jobs, but I just need to up my game. I just need to prepare myself or make myself employable. Do you understand? So there is a difference between unemployment and unemployability. So most of the time, our problem is not unemployment. Our problem is unemployability. Are you following me this morning? Hallelujah. A graduate came to my office some couple of days ago and I was telling him, can you help me work on an Excel? He could not work on Excel. graduate. Hallelujah. They're even working on what document. I had to teach him how to draw a table on what document. So can you imagine that person get a job opening and he enter the company of the MD or the interview panel and they give him a file to process and say, can you develop an Excel, whatever, and he's sweating on it and he say, God has filled him. Is it God that filled him? Hallelujah. You don't even have to have got it. I have learned computer appreciation before I enter secondary school. So I know how to do a work with Excel. I knew how to work with Word document, PowerPoint before I gained admission to secondary to university. I mean to say. But you can have a graduate who doesn't know how to maneuver his way on Excel, on Access, on PowerPoint, and all of that. Alright? If they ask you to come and present your whatever using PowerPoint, will you be able to do that? So the problem, let me say that again, that might look, because sometimes we come to church with side of spirituality, we come to church with suit and tie, we come to church with standing in the Holy Ghost, but there are some basic things that a lot of people lack. And God cannot be mocked. Hallelujah. God in his wisdom and his decorum will make the right job to be far from such people. Because can you imagine going to an interview panel and they ask him and he say, what's your name? And they already know he's a Christian. Do you understand? He even say, God bless you. You know, those Christian, whatever. All right? And they say, come and work on Excel and he could not work. He's mocking the name of God. So for God to save his own face, he will not let you get that kind of opportunity. Do you understand what I'm saying? For God to save his own face. But that maybe sometimes the job you think are not available is God that is making them far from you. Amen. Say, Pastor, is God that wicked? No, God is not wicked. God is wise. Amen. How can you say you are? You know, I was happy when my supervisor, I was happy. I saw a comment of my supervisor on Facebook yesterday. Is it yesterday or early this morning? Yesterday or something like that. Early yesterday morning. Alright, he's in the US, he's doing his postdoctorate, whatever it was, my professor in Unilag. And then so he saw another student of his over there and they connected and he was trying to say a few things about that person. So I made a comment and I said, well, thank you, sir, for your investment in our life. You know, I just had to at least appreciate his labor over us. But he said something that blew my mind. I've done my master's since 2012, alright, I finished 2014. He was saying, he said, Pastor Awuyele, have my phone here, I'll be able to read this comment. I was dazed. He said, you have been a good example both in ministry and in academics. He said, your MSc thesis is still, he used one language, is still unparalleled. That's the way. I said, hey, I mean, I've forgotten I did MSc. It was what I was reminding, maybe I've even forgotten the topic. But I was happy, because maybe he has supervised other students did the same thing along the same line. Maybe according to you, I have not seen anybody that did what I did. Even when I was to finish my MSc, Demola, why not push PhD now? I will supervise you. I love your work. I said, I'm sorry, I'm not doing PhD. This is just yesterday. I am in ministry full time, but I did something about 6-7 years ago. Somebody still made reference to it, that your MSc thesis is unparalleled. Can you imagine that? And that's the kind of Christians God is raising. You are going to be tongue-talking, but you're going to be academically sound. Do you understand? Praise God. Say, Pastor, this message is hard. I say, brother, it's not hard. Amen. It's simple. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So our problem is not unemployment, but it's unemployability. And I want to quickly say this morning that we must understand the future of jobs. You may want to write it down. The present job and the future of jobs. Write it down. The present job and the future of jobs. When some of you are saying job, the job you are thinking about is the job of yesterday. Some of you don't even understand the reality of the present job. I was shocked when somebody was saying in a seminar I went to, and I agree with him, and he said, gone are those days I'll be saying, I want to be an accountant, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a whatever, those things are not the real thing now. Praise God. Do I have witness in the house? Those things are not the real thing. I have a daughter now. If I want to I'm training her up in academics, I will guide her correctly. In those days, if you are not a doctor, lawyer, accountant, you are not anything. But in today, those things can be the reason why you become jobless. Somebody said that if you don't do any of those jobs, any of those cases, you are going, now doing them might be the reason why you become jobless. Am I correct? I was told that Bill Gates now, or which are some of these great guys, when they want to employ them, they don't even look at your certificate course, electrical, they don't look at that. They look at other things. Do you understand? So the present job, understand what it is. Because what you are looking for most time is the yesterday job. Hallelujah. Then the future of jobs. Let me just give you a hint. The future of jobs is in tech or technology. Some of us, we're young people, we probably will have understood that. And technology actually is not a respecter of your type of course. Say, Pastor, me, I study law. You need to be a techie lawyer. There's a lady I follow on Facebook. As I'm talking now, she's in Hong Kong. Some of you probably will know her. Alright, she's a lawyer by profession, but I see the way she has brought technology into what she's doing. Now they invite her all over the places to come and give whatever and whatever she does. Alright, she could have been a charge and bail lawyer, whatever they call it. Alright, there are some lawyers that the best they use their law education legal profession to do is to become a caretaker. May you not be one of them. Is that not a job too? Somebody, one big man build a house somewhere and say, let me hand it over to my lawyer. Lawyer be handling it for me. And you say, you read law. You didn't read law. Law read you. Amen. They just charge amazing to be a lawyer, you know. So the future of job is actually in technology. Whether you are into education, there are some schools that will employ you if you don't know how to teach with projector. Am I correct? So people are saying, oh Lord, give me a new job. God says, oh son, no daughter, go and learn how to do presentation on projector. But there are some of these big schools that you are hiring, some of them don't do matter and board again. Amen. They have projector. And some of you will see some of those things in pictures, in their prospectus, and you don't tell yourself, can I even teach with a projector? He said, but me, I didn't study computer science. Brother, you don't need to study computer science. So technology now is not a course. Technology is a skill. Do you understand? Say, what course do you study? I study ICT, information and computer technology. Gone are those days. It's no more a course. It's a skill that everybody must develop expertise, you know, in. Hallelujah. That even when you are on a current or present job, developing expertise in this area will give you an edge. Alright, and I'm sure you know that in skill, we also have soft skill, there is a hard skill. Hard skill is some of the things you can do practically with your hands. Soft skills are things that are not visible, but they are things that you bring into what you are doing. Emotional intelligence, a part of soft skill. Alright, relational skill, alright, and all of that. Praise God. The management and leadership, very important. That's the future of jobs. Amen. Praise God. Somebody is shouting, Pastor, when are you going to finish teaching us all these things? I'm enjoying it. I say, I'm not going to finish today. I'll finish next Sunday by the grace of God. Now, what does it mean to be employable? Very fast. Number one, it means to possess the relevant knowledge, skill, and know-how for the job you are seeking. Because sometimes the job you are seeking is not seeking you. Do you understand? So what does it mean to be employable? It means to possess the relevant knowledge, skill, and know-how for the job you seek. I want to work with United Nations. Brother, do you know what United Nations actually stands for? Alright, do you know the Millennium Development Goals? Do you know how many nations are in the UN? Do you understand? Do you know the focus of UN? Do you understand? What does the know-how? So if you want to be employable in the United Nations, you have got to possess the relevant knowledge about the United Nations, possess relevant skill and know-how for the job you are seeking. Number two, what it means to be employable is to be positioned as an asset, not a liability. Alright? To be positioned as an asset, not as a liability. You know, Ghana does this, it still happens, but it's no more common that companies employ you and they are now training you. These days, companies want you to have trained. And I feel for young folks, because when I see a young man say, Pastor, I need a social amount of money, I want to go and enroll for this course. I say, in those days, before now, is when you get job that those companies will now train you. Am I correct? That was the job of yesterday. Amen. But the job of today, they don't want to employ a liability. In fact, companies of today, they want to cut down costs. Do you understand? They want to cut down costs, so they don't want to employ somebody. They are going to be the one training on the things that he or she should have trained him or herself. So what does it mean to be employable? It means to position and prepare yourself to be an asset, not a liability. Number three, To be employable means to understand the future of jobs. This one is very, and I want somebody to underline that word, the future of jobs. If I go and Google it, I've not Googled it, I've read, I can't count number of materials I've read on stuff like that. But go and Google it, the future of jobs. You'll be able to know where job is going. Do you understand? Because I'm saying this with all sadness in my heart. Some of us are pursuing the job of yesterday. The job of today itself, you are not, but the job of today too is fast out disappearing. There is a job of tomorrow. Do you understand? I'm speaking because most of us are still young people. You are still under 30 or maybe a little above 30. In order for you not to get to 45 and be jobless, understand the future of jobs. Do you understand? When you become 40, you need to know what kind of job is available at that age. Praise God. So what does it mean to be employable? It means to understand the future of jobs. And can I speak to somebody who is already on a current job? Don't speak too comfortably. Do you understand? Understand the future of job. If you're in any field, understand the future of that field. Alright? Understand the future of that field and start making relevant adjustments, relevant development, so that when the future comes, you will not have been swept away with the past. When the future comes, the future has met you where you should be. Are you following me? Are you following me? So you need to understand the future of jobs and industry. Sometimes I love to watch documentary on Japan, India, you know, China, and all those. You discover that, oh boy. You go to some supermarket sometimes, you may not see any human being there. Amen. There will just be somebody who is behind the TV or a CCTV trying to look at what is that, but you may not see anybody in that big supermarket. When you enter, it's a robot. I'm going to greet you. You're welcome. All right. You place your order. All right. The robot will help you do whatever. You make payment. Nobody is there. All right. No security man, sir, because everything is secured. So in case you are a ticket person, I'm a good security person. Go and learn cyber security. Or what do you call it? Everything is technology now. So you look, I have Mozu. People don't use Mozu again. Am I correct? People don't use Mozu. Me, I can do fence. People don't use fence again for security. Go and ask GT Bank. Say, I know how to build fence. I know how to do all those barbed wire, you know, those things they do. As important as those things are, but there's a future that is coming that those things are not going to be needed again. So it's good you give yourself such exposure. All right, and all of that. So in case a job, you think me, I'm a front desk officer. The future of jobs says front desk officers will no longer be needed. Praise God. Pastor, are you making me to be afraid? No, I'm challenging you to up your game. Do you understand? And explore the future of jobs in your front desk office, if I may use that language. Number four, to be prepared, positioned, and packaged for the job you so desire. What does it mean to be employable? To be prepared, positioned, and packaged for the job you so desire. Three powerful words. Number one, to be prepared. To be what? You know, how do I know that you are prepared for the job you so desire? If you receive a call today now, say, Demola, resume a so-so-so company by 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. Will you be prepared? Are you following me? Not every job will give you 2 weeks to put yourself together. Because I see people who are looking for jobs, but they're not even prepared. If somebody says, send me your CV before 12 noon. You know, you can be in church and forward your CV to somebody. Am I correct? Let's assume as I'm declaring that God is giving new jobs, better jobs, newer jobs, the prophecy is working in your favor. Somebody just get out of his room this morning and remember Demola and quickly sent you a WhatsApp message or email. Say, Demola, can I have your CV or resume between now and 12 noon? And it becomes an uphill task. That's when you start browsing the internet. Alright, trying to see how to prepare CV. You are already late. Are you following me? You are browsing the internet. How do I prepare CV? How do I do this one? And all of that. So you need to be prepared. Say, I'm prepared. I told us that my last job in Lagos Telecom firm, alright, the day I did the interview was the day I resumed. I never knew though I dressed well, because I knew they would probably, I was not even told I would be interviewed. I was privileged to call the MD and he said, can you come down for a chat? Dressed well. I didn't know it was an interview, so I entered his office. He was working on the laptop.
And he was just chatting me up. Okay, what do you say you study? What skill do you say you have? And we chatted for about 30 minutes. And he said, okay, can you resume immediately? I'm telling you, that's the kind of job I got. He didn't say, we'll consider it. Maybe what I said, I'm not that sound. I'm sound in Jesus' name. But maybe my packaging and the way I delivered, maybe convinced him. He didn't even wait to go and meet the other members of board. You know, I was the only person in that company that was employed without a panel interview. I was the only person. So when my friends or my staff, my mate and colleague in the company, when they say, Mr. So-and-so, when he was interviewing you, I said, I was not interviewed though. It was only the MD that just started me up. But it was an interview in disguise. Alright? It was a seeming casual talk, but I was making sense in the casual talk. And it was so fast that I said, I can resume immediately. May that be somebody's portion here in Jesus' name. It's possible. I don't think that is for yesterday. It's possible. So to be employable is to be prepared, positioned, and packaged. Position. The word prepare means you are mentally prepared, you are emotionally prepared. Position means you have relevant information, you access the right network. Because the problem of some of us is positioning. Say positioning. I understand that that's the reason why some people leave Akure and go to Lagos. But listen to me, positioning does not serve by location. You can be in Lagos. I used to have somebody in Akure who said, Pastor, I need to be in Lagos. But in my heart as a pastor, I know he was not supposed to go to Lagos. But you know, I can't come. You know, it's difficult for a pastor to stay in Akure. They say, Ashika, they was a church. It's not church. But as I'm saying, I'm not seeing you as a Lagos. You say, Pastor, I will go, I will go. Somebody can go. The guy was in Lagos for 7 months and he was looking for a job that is not lost. If I got to a point, I had to start using my own contact to start connecting him, blah blah blah. So when he came back, he said, Pastor, I'm back. I said, what happened? He said, it's not as easy as I thought. I said, brother, when I say positioning, it's not you living in Akure. You can be in Akure and get a job. Do you understand? Zacchaeus had to climb the sycamore tree for him to see Jesus. Am I correct? Zacchaeus had a limitation of height and stature. Alright, Jesus was passing by. He wanted to have a gaze at Jesus, but he could not see Jesus because of the crowd. The Bible says Zacchaeus had to climb a sycamore tree and he saw Jesus. So what does it mean to be positioned? It means to have relevant information. To belong to the right network. If I ask some of us, how many of us are on LinkedIn? You know, it amazes me that it's only in some circle you will see more pastors on LinkedIn than professional folks. I say, what is it? Pastors still need to be in LinkedIn, but people that need some of those network and contact, they know desperately, they're not even on LinkedIn. The only thing they know is over Facebook. Hallelujah. You know, all of them also have their relevance. Somebody said Twitter is for the academic, it's more academic. Am I correct? Twitter will force you to think. How many of you are on Twitter? Maybe all of us are on Twitter, but how many of you are active on Twitter? Because in Twitter, you have intelligent conversation. Am I correct? Not the one you are posting nude picture. Nobody is looking for your picture on Twitter. They want something upstairs. Amen. And some of you run away from those conversations. Say, well, boy, you're academic. That's what Twitter is for. Facebook, of course, is everybody. Amen. Alright, Instagram, just go and see yourself bathing with ice water or whatever and post it on Instagram. But when you go to LinkedIn is a professional networking site. Do you understand? So what is major or what is the goal of LinkedIn is to link people together professionally. Alright? And that's why some of us need to go there and update your bio there. Alright, let people know what you do. A lot of stuff. Some of you are already familiar with this, but that is one of those ways to position yourself, alright, for relevant job. Positioning yourself can also mean getting in touch with people. Those folks that you finish school with, don't think everybody is suffering. Some people are out of the country already. Do you understand? And that's why I don't believe that you finish from campus and you just leave all your friends. Say bye-bye to them. I have new friends now. There's nothing like that. You can't be friends to everybody, but there should be still some people in your secondary school, even secondary school, that you should still be able to network with because somebody has a job offer that you need. But if you don't know how to build that network and position yourself, and the thing about networking is that if you don't network early enough or make it part of your life, when somebody has an opportunity that will benefit you, will not remember you. Because people only remember who is in touch with them. Do you understand? And you now discover that, but this guy has this kind of offer, but you didn't
just occur to me. May you occur to somebody.
But if that will happen, it's not only prayer. You have to get keep in touch with people. Do you understand? Go and search your phone book, your whatever network. Ask this person, how is Holland? How is Netherlands? How is Germany? How is Mabel Kuta? What's happening there? What kind of, ask people the job they are doing. Don't feel intimidated. The guy is posting picture on Facebook of how he's on the office with a system and you're like, oh God, are you still with me? No. Chat him up. Because that's some of us feel intimidated. Chat him up and say, oh God, you're enjoying, you know, God is good to you. Where are you working? I'm working somewhere in Lagos. Where in Lagos? On the island? Yes, okay, that's good. It must be a telecoms firm or a bank. No, whatever. Ask questions. See, and we never can tell if it's an opening, you know, and all that. No, I'm serious. It's as simple as that. Don't feel intimidated. God is good to all of us, but there are some people that at least you can see the evidence of God's goodness. Am I correct? So don't be intimidated. Don't feel bad. Appreciate God for them, but connect. Say connect. Is very important. The Lord will help us. There's no need to have to package yourself. Package yourself. I know most of us have substance. Me, I can package you, not in dressing now. If I can, if I talk, you know, it's good. Package yourself. You should not attend an interview and they say they won't employ you. You didn't know how to package yourself. In fact, the only chance you need is to be invited for an interview, whether by miracle or by mistake. Are you following me? That you just showed up at the interview. They are even wondering, did you get it? I don't know, but I said, no, I'm here. Can we talk? But can you imagine God giving you the miracle of an interview and your packaging is wrong? Alright, amen. You're telling the lady you smell nice, okay? And lady is saying, is it job you want to come and do, or you want to come and toast me? So that some of the things you've got to learn, package yourself, your skills, your gift, your delivery, your CV, your resume. Some of us don't even know the difference between a CV and a resume. CV is general, resume is job specific. Do you understand? So if a company says forward your resume to, don't go and forward CV, there are two different things. So immediately the HR officer sees that a CV, this one said, they will just take this, what you call CV, they'll put it aside. But resume is job specific. Are you following me? You want to get a marketing job. What they want to see in your resume is area, places that you have done something that look like marketing. Don't go and say, I have thought before. I have checked. They don't need all that one there. That's resume. So resume is job specific. CV is general. So an average resume, maximum of 2 pages. If you're having 6 pages, it's not resume or CV. You put computer appreciation 2011, 2001. That's when I did computer. 2002, that's when I did computer appreciation. All those things. So you can, CV allows you to put everything you know to put. I was president of whatever, whatever, whatever. Put it there, but resume, they don't look, they are not looking for that one. Whatever it is you have done, wherever it is you have been, that is in line with our work. That's why you cannot produce a good resume without knowing the company. So resume is prepared for a company. CV is general. So your CV will be handy, but most of the time your resume won't be handy. So to prepare a resume, you have got to search for that company, go to their website, ask people relevant questions. What is it that this company is about? Then you package your resume in line with what that company is about. That's part of packaging. But if you don't do that, you'll be saying, well, this CV, once your guy at the top or the HR officer sees 9 pages, he will not read your mail. He will not read, open the attachment, because he or she knows you're not sending resume. Are you following me? How do you package your experience? There's nothing you have gone through that is not sellable. For example, if I want to apply for a job now, my pastoring is part of my CV. But I won't be talking about spiritual. I will say I provide leadership for. When I was serving in SCCA, we did outreaches. When I was to put it on my CV, I said we went on humanitarian, whatever, whatever. That is my experience now. I'm packaging it correctly. I won't say we went for Ura Rocket Evangelism. They don't understand that one. But what they understand is that we went on humanitarian service, we provided drug. I don't say we pray for them. They don't need to hear prayer. prepared drugs for them, were able to build them, renovate their school. They know that this guy is a player. Do you understand? They know that this guy can lead a team. They know that this guy can oversee the CSR part of our organization. Let me round up by telling you why you need a job. By next week, I'll finish the other one. But somebody is asking, Pastor, I think so. We are just talking. Is job that very important? Must everybody get a job? So why do you need a job? Don't forget Ephesians 4:28. Where Apostle Paul said, let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, that he may have to give to him that has need. Do you read that in Ephesians 4:28? So I'm giving you about 10 reasons why you need a job. I'm going to stop there now. 10 reasons why you need a job. Ephesians 4:28. Don't forget Paul, the apostle himself. Anointed man of God, encourage his church members. If we am encouraging you, that let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him what? Labor, working in with his hand the things that are good, that he may have to give to him that has need. Why do you need a job? Number one, to finance your work. So to finance my work. Now, I have taught us in this church that there's a difference between your job and your work. Alright? Your job is all I have been saying so far. But your work is your assignment. Do you understand? Your work is your life assignment. Your work is the vision that you know God has given you. So you need a job so that you can have funds to finance your work. Some of us have got some visions. I want to reach out to people. I want to do this one. I want to write a book. I want to wax a record, an album. I know that's my calling, but I'm working as a telecoms engineer, working as a banker. So why am I working? I'm working so that I can finance my work, which is my purpose and my calling. Do you understand? So most people don't know that the reason why you are working is so that you can have money to finance your assignment. Because you are working, you are changing from one designer's shoe to another. So you have to be saving money so that you can, when you want to wax that record, you just start begging for money up and down. Alright? When I was to release one of my books in 2012, if the money we have gathered through saving, that we used to publish that book, about 250,000 naira. We were about to get married about some couple of months after. I said, okay, let's do it. How can I be begging somebody, can you lend me money to publish a book? No. Nobody want to understand that. They want to ask me, what have you been able to do with your times of working? So are there visions in your heart? Are there things you want to do with your life for the advancement of God's kingdom? The reason why you need a job is so that you can have finances to be able to what? To fund it. Number two, take care of your responsibilities. To take care of your responsibility, whether personal or family responsibility. Some of us have got some responsibility. Like I teach people this way, we have responsibilities in areas where we have relationships. Write it down. We have responsibilities in areas where we have what? Relationship. You have relationship with your parents and your siblings, so you have a responsibility towards them. Do you understand? You have a younger brother, younger sister. Once in a while, they may want you to send them a 1 gig of Airtel or 1 gig of whatever. That is your responsibility. Do you understand? It's a joy to see your sibling, younger brother or sister, asking you to send him credit. Don't say, I don't have money. That's the reason why you are working. Do you understand? Responsibility towards your siblings, your parents. Responsibility to among your friends. There are some things you have to take up. A friend of yours want to do wedding. What stops you from sending 50K to his account and say, that's my contribution? Don't say, I don't have money. You know, I'm not working. That's the reason why you have to work. You have responsibilities in areas of relationship, friends, family, even church. Alright, you have church responsibility. Don't say, Pastor, you know, some of us that are not working will not give anything. That's why you need to work so I can give something. Number three, to release your potentials. In fact, to me, this is one of the highest purposes of work. Not even to get money, but to release your potentials. Because your potential is talking about the things that you can do, but you have not yet been doing. Alright, so it is when you are on a job that your potentials, your capacities are released. Number four, to grow your network. This one is very important. To grow your what? Your network. Because you will meet more people when you are on a job. There are some jobs you are going to pick up, not because of the salary, but because of the network. There are some circles that you will get to that will change your life forever. May you enter such circle in Jesus' name. They may not give you all the money in this world, but you enter that circle and you see yourself interacting with folks whom God has helped. Alright? You see yourself interacting with folks that after that work, they have gone up to another better job. And it is through them that God will take you to another level. Do you understand? So I need job to grow my network. And I think I need to tell church folks. In fact, this is one of the reasons why I sometimes feel that or sometimes I beg God, can you allow me to work? I'm not working because I'm not doing secular, because God restricted me from working. If God says there is an open check, do anything you like, I'll go and apply for a job. Not because of money, but because of network. Do you understand? Because of what? You get to meet more people. I believe as a pastor, probably I can be more effective if I'm in a secular employment. I'm going to meet more people. Do you understand? Can you imagine if I'm a lecturer on a Futa campus? Just imagine what it will look like for me. That I'm spiritually sound, I'm a pastor, I'm a lecturer. Imagine the impute it will have to the kingdom. Not even to talk about the church. But I'm not at a disadvantage because I'm where God wants me to be, doing what he wants me to do. Do you understand? So when I get a job, it helps me to grow my world. So, and that is to tell all of you that are presently on a job, please don't be a lone ranger. Do you understand? When you're on a job, ensure you connect with your fellow colleagues. Even those who have resigned and moved to another company, get in touch with them. They might be the reason why you will move to another better job. Number three, to see your future. Number five, to see your future. To see your future. Your future is connected to your present seed or engagement. When you are not on a job, you might be entering an empty future without knowing. Our future is a cumulative effect of the seeds that we are sowing today. Go and ask, what's his name? Joseph. That was his secret. Number six, to prepare yourself for your own. Put that your own in quotes, your own. It is always safer and more profitable to have worked for somebody before standing on your own. So in case you have a dream to establish a business, to start a ministry, to start whatever, it is always safer and better and more profitable to work for somebody. Because you'll be learning at that person's expense. Do you understand? So now you will make some mistakes at the expense of that person. So when you now enter your own work, you will have avoided those mistakes. Do you understand? So in case you want to stand on your own, one of the best ways to stand on your own is to stand with somebody. Number seven, to become a blessing. To become a blessing. Now I'm praying that you will belong to a company that is blessing humanity. That's where to work. Next week I'll be teaching you how to identify the right place to work. Alright? Blessing humanity. If you are teaching in a school, for instance, now, you are already in a company that is blessing humanity. What is that company doing? They are shaping the culture of young people. Am I correct? Because you don't see it that way. You see it as, I just want to go and teach. No. It's a company that is blessing what? Humanity. Because, but if you are in your bedroom at home, you can't be that part of that network that is blessing humanity. So to become a blessing. Number eight. For growth and development. For growth and development. You know, I've not talked about money. Money is important, but these are other reasons why you work for growth and development. Work actually grows us. If you graduate in 2010 and you refuse to work till 2020, you will have been stinking. I'm telling you, you will have been stinking. Even if you have all the money in this world, your father at home is sending you money, everything is happening. Why? Because the purpose of working is to grow you, growth and development, spiritual, mental, and all of that. Because we grow in an environment of work, not idleness. We grow in an environment of work, not what? All the organs of our body have been designed to grow through use. Do you understand? If your brain will develop, we have to use it. Do you understand? If your mind will develop, you have to use it. And can I say that for some of us who are thinking that maybe if I'm not working, I will have had a better spiritual life. I have learned by experience that I believe that somebody who is engaged in a job has the tendency to have a better spiritual life than somebody who is idle. Because you are thinking that, I wish I'm not even working. Oh, this wake up 7 a.m., go to work 7:30, come back by 5 p.m. That's how my spiritual life is going down. Go and resign from job. You will discover that your spiritual will go down more. Why? Because when you are working, it's full discipline. Do you understand? You know you won't have to wake up by 8 a.m. You have to wake up by 6 a.m., 5 a.m. to do your quiet time. Am I correct? But if there is no job, you are clocking in, alright, you will see reasons to still sleep for 9 a.m. and say, God, I'll still do my quiet time by 10. I say, I'm not going anywhere. So about that 1 p.m. has landed, you have not done quiet time. But if you are working, you know your time is planned. Am I correct? Everything has been planned. I learned that when I was working. I never went down when I was working, and I think I'm not going down now because I'm also working. Amen. It's only that I'm not working secularly. I'm working for the best company in the world. Amen. Some people are working for Chevron. Me, I'm working for Evron. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want you to envy me. They say, Pastor, you know, as I've never posture as though I'm nowhere. I'm working. Praise God. Let me round up. Number 9, to reach out to people for Christ. So our job is a platform for evangelism. I think I've said something along that. Because you will meet more people while working secularly than just staying in God's presence. How many of you love to stay in God's presence? The reason why you want to stay in God's presence is to be able to collect God. But after you have collected God, you need to be in the midst of people so that the God you have collected can be a blessing to other people. Are you following me? So, platform for evangelism. And I want to encourage all of you that are working, use your job as a platform for what? Don't shy away. In fact, that's the reason why God gives people job. Don't think that God gives people job so that you can collect salary. God gives us jobs so that through that job, you can propagate the gospel. It doesn't mean that you will stand up in the classroom and begin to preach. It doesn't mean that you stand up in board meeting and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. But it means that the aura of God in your life will so much show in the life of people around you that they want to know the God you serve. Do you understand? That was what happened to Daniel, Joseph, and the likes. The Lord will help us. The same thing for Jacob. The last one. For effectiveness in our Christian work. Romans 12. They're not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You want to develop fruit of the Spirit? Go and engage in a job. Fruit of the Spirit, patience. Alright? While I worked in Lagos, on the highland, I had some crazily dressed girls. You know, in church, all our sisters are wonderful sisters. Amen? So you can't test your self-control with sisters in church. Am I correct? You test your self-control by ladies who are putting on, this one is even macro mini skirts. You know, it happens. So I'm serious. This is a telecom firm. These are customer service officers. You know them, no? Amen. Ladies that want to check, they want you to help them check something on your service and they bring their chest near your shoulder. You have to remove your shoulder and say, what's happening? Amen. That's self-control. Not the one that you say, you are enjoying it. I say, brother, you're on your way to hell. Amen. Nobody can do that for you in church. So you don't test your Christian effectiveness in church. You test it in the secular world, where you meet devils and demons and you still stand strong. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet this morning. Did you get something? Alright, this is part one. Part two is next Sunday. I've still got about two thoughts to share. I've only shared just about one third of what I plan to share. Not slothful in business, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. I said this is a prophetic message. God gave me this prophetic word. I only package a teaching around it. I want you to pray for yourself. You know, we are all at different levels. Some of us are listening to me anywhere in the world today. I don't know the level you are at. Maybe you are the 32-year-old I'm talking about who is afraid. Since I'm more than the normal age limit for job, I don't know if I will get a job. This message has come so the job can open for you. Maybe you are here, you already have a job, but you are believing God for a better job. You can begin to receive it now as I'm praying. Say, Lord, I haven't had this teaching. As I put this teaching to practice, I begin to receive better jobs. I begin to receive bigger jobs. Maybe you are here, you are believing God for something to even do. You want to change jobs. You can pray and say, Lord, as I've had this word today, begin to link me up to the right job. Begin to link me up with the right employment. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. While all eyes are closed, I'll pray for us because our time is up. I didn't teach this message from the platform of the secular. That is the God factor I was bringing in. You are here, you are not born again. You are in the service this morning or you are listening to this teaching anywhere in the world. I want you to put your right hand on your chest. Let's pray together. If I say there is a job waiting for you out there, I'm talking about what only God can do, not what Buhari can do, not empower. I'm not talking about empower. There is an empowerment coming from God. That when that empowerment comes, if it is empower, it's open for you. If it is whatever job, private jobs, government job, but you are here, you are not born again. Can I give you that opportunity this morning to make Jesus the Lord of your life? While all eyes are closed, can you put your right hand on your chest? Let's pray together. You are saying, that's why I came to serve you this man. I didn't just come to hear a message. I come for a relationship with God. I come for an encounter. Put your right hand on your chest if you are in the auditorium or wherever you are listening to this teaching. There is a job coming your way, but God wants to make you to be right with Him so that when that job comes, you will represent the interest of God wherever it is you have got in the job. Put your right hand on your chest and repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for the word I've had this morning.
I make you the Lord of my life. I make you my Savior. I ask that you will forgive my sin. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I say no to sin. I say yes to God. I receive grace to live my life to please you. Thank you for answering me. In Jesus' name I have prayed. If you have made a prayer in the service, see me after the service. Or you're listening to this teaching, there is a number on the message, after the message, call any of those numbers and let's get to talk together. I believe that the Lord still has more for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for everyone who have had this. So everybody put your right hand on your head. There is something that is happening today. I pray for a prophetic release of this truth that we have had in the name of Jesus. I declare that this will not just come as a motivation, it will come as an impartation. Everything that you have in stock to have brought up this message, let it begin to work for your people. In the name of Jesus, I stand in my office as your servant. I declare new job openings in the name of Jesus. International jobs, government jobs, private jobs, promotion for those already at a job placement already. In the name of Jesus, I declare today 11th hour miracle jobs. Nobody will say nobody has hired us. Everyone will leave this meeting hired by God, and because of that, hired by men. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you this morning. You become a valuable employee. You become valuable wherever you find yourself. In the name of Jesus. Anyone who had the risk of losing his or her job, by the virtue of this man, you will not lose that job. The Lord keep you in that job. While others are cast down for you, there shall be a lifting up. I declare that you are blessed, and so shall it be. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Did you get something this morning? Alright, let me take your offering. We're done. This is 9:30 already. Did you get something? Alright, let's lift our offering. The message, I think, is recorded.
We know that this message has been of tremendous blessing to you. For information on how you can get more of our messages and ministry materials, or how you can partner with us to bless more lives all over the world, kindly visit our website www.destinyimpactchurch.org or call the following numbers: 0803-832-8650 or 0809-462-8743. Thanks and God bless you. Destiny Impact Church, empowering in destinies. Jesus is Lord.